coming to you from deep inside the bowels of a great big empty. Get ready for another episode of The Home Defense Show with Skip Coriel.
Hello, American families. Welcome to this week's episode of The Home Defense Show. I'm your host, Skip Coriel. And if you love your family, care about them deeply, and want to learn how to protect them in every facet of your life, then you've come to the right place. Oh man, we got a really fun show today. I don't know how to describe it other than just say, this is a fun show. We have got Brian Jeffs. Brian is quite a guy. If you've ever met Brian in person, you know that he has certainly an abundance of character. He is blessed with a lot of personality. We'll just leave it at that, and then we'll let you judge for yourself when we get to segments 2 and 3. Brian is the co-founder of Michigan Open Carry. He's the vice president of Second Amendment March. He is the co-author of the children's book, My Parents Open Carry, and he's the co-host of the At Odds radio show. So he's a really busy guy. And I think you're really going to enjoy this week's episode of The Home Defense Show, just because Brian's there. Brian is just fun to be around. All right, what have I been up to? Well, we need to welcome a new sponsor, Centershot Indoor Gun Range out of Door, Michigan. They are now a sponsor of The Home Defense Show. I go there. I shoot every week at Center Shot. I recommend that you do too. Just an awesome place. They're very military veteran friendly, which is near and dear to my heart because I am a Marine Corps veteran. And they give 10% discount to U.S. military veterans. So I recommend that you check them out over in Door. Go to CenterShotGunRange.com and you can check them out. And hey, I will see you there. I usually go there Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday time frame. That's when they're the least busy. So I love to go there and train. And I expect to see you there soon. All right, let's talk about the news. We got a lot of news out there. First, let's go to Fox News. New York driver allegedly plows into family of eight, killing mom after asked to stop smoking. Well, apparently smoking can be dangerous to your health and the people around you. Apparently, secondhand smoke kills. Boy. Actually, I shouldn't joke about that. It's really quite sad. You know, allegedly. I always wonder, why do they say allegedly? It's on video. He mowed these people down, a whole family, and they're saying allegedly to protect the man's rights, I guess. He's innocent until proven guilty. If it's on video, he's guilty. It's proven. All right, a New York man allegedly mowed down a family of eight, including a baby and five children, outside a 7-Eleven store on Wednesday, killing a 32-year-old mother after the father asked the driver to stop smoking, a report said. Wow. Jason Mendez, 35, hit all eight members of the family following an argument he had with the father, who had allegedly asked him not to blow cigarette smoke around his children. You know, I have to comment here. At the risk of sounding sympathetic towards the killer, the murderer, you know, I think it's just a bad idea to, approach strangers and start an altercation. It's just a really bad idea because you never know who you're dealing with. I mean, okay, you got a guy, he's standing outside the 7-Eleven, he's smoking. You don't like it, but it's not smart. It's not wise. Not in the society, in the culture that we live in today. It's just not a good idea to bring strangers, invite them into your life. Because when you walk up and start a conversation with someone, you're inviting them into your life. You have to understand that. And obviously, something wrong with this guy. And you just assume that every stranger out there, you know, is the spawn of Satan, and you'll never be disappointed. I'm sure it's going to limit your new friends, but, well, let's just read. Mendez of Washingtonville got into his car and smashed into the Rockland County convenience store before he reversed the vehicle and plowed forward again, striking the family a second time, police said. A mangled baby carriage remained at the scene, as witnesses told WNBC-TV they saw a woman lying on the ground injured and heard a baby crying. All eight family members were hospitalized. The mother was later pronounced dead. The 35-year-old father and six children, ranging from 2 to 10 years old, were treated for non-life-threatening injuries. Police have yet to release the family's identity. Mendez allegedly exited the vehicle with a knife, and police subdued him with a stun gun. He didn't say anything initially to the police officers, said Haverstraw Police Captain Martin Lund. He refused to drop the knife, then he was tased at the scene and taken down. Mendez was arrested and charged with second-degree murder and 7 counts of attempted murder. He pleaded not guilty to all charges at his arraignment. That's pretty standard. All right, here's my point, and here's my question. You know, you never know who you're dealing with. When you see a stranger, you don't know who they are. They could have 10 bodies in their basement right now, and they're trying to figure out where to bury them. You just don't know who you're dealing with, so be very careful about who you let into your life. You know, one thing, I'll guarantee you, the dad... He didn't do anything wrong. You know, he probably said, you know, would you mind not smoking around my kids? You know, I'm concerned about secondhand smoke. That's reasonable, right? But a person who would mow down a family of 8 is not reasonable. They're not reasonable. And I guarantee you, the father, for the rest of his life, even though he did nothing wrong, he is going to regret that he talked to that man, because these kinds of things are predictable. That doesn't mean every person you talk to is going to, you know, do something crazy like this. But every once in a while, one of them does. And it's just not worth it. It is not worth the risk to bring strangers into your life, because every once in a while, something like this happens. This poor father, he's raising kids on his own now, 6 kids on his own. And the mom was pregnant. So that's another baby that died. He's going to be thinking for the rest of his life, I wish I had not talked to that man. If I had not talked to that man, my wife would be alive right now. That is indisputable. It's indisputable. So be careful about who you approach in public. It's sad that our culture has come to this, but it has. And I know some of you are going, you're saying, oh, you know, that happened in New York. You know, it could never happen here. Well, you know what? I got a copy of the Allegan County News. You know, a little podunk town about a man from Martin Township. You know where I live? I live in Martin Township. And things like this happen. Bad things happen. Even in the heartland of America. Here's the main headline. Carjacker caught after crashes. Foot chase standoff. A 39-year-old Martin Township man, where I live, apparently stole a utility van from a Perigo parking lot in Allegan, crashed the vehicle, then led police on a foot chase and standoff that ended in his arrest. Jason Thomas Schultz was arraigned on charges of carjacking and unlawful driving away of an automobile on Thursday, February 14th in Allegan County District Court. Schultz, with an extensive criminal history, was reported to have broken a window of a vehicle in Perigo's parking lot on Eastern Avenue, but was confronted by an employee. According to witnesses, the suspect ran across the street brandishing a gun and attempted to take an occupied semi-truck. However, the semi drove off, said Allegan Police Chief Rick Hoyer. The man then found a biased electric utility van doing work in the area and drove off with it. He crashed the van into a tree on 108th Avenue near 26th Street. He fled on foot to a pole barn where he tried to steal a tractor, but crashed it inside the barn. This guy will steal anything. This guy, anything on wheels is not safe from this man. The man then fled on foot to a wooded area where a canine unit located him and told him, and they told him to show his hands and surrender. The man then claimed to be holding a bomb. So this guy's nuts. Okay, this guy's out of his mind, bonkers. After 2 hours of negotiations, the suspect was taken into custody, transported to Borges Hospital, and released to the Allegan County Jail. No weapons were found on the suspect. Hoyer said the man admitted using methamphetamine, had mental health issues, and was hallucinating. Our negotiator did an excellent job, Hoyer said. It truly was the best outcome, given that mental health issues and meth are the worst combinations. Yeah, that's pretty bad. Hoyer also said the cold and snowy weather worked, in favor of the police apprehending the suspect. Perrigo was locked down for employee safety as the incident unfolded. Streets in the vicinity around the crash and standoff were also blocked. Wow. Schultz was also arraigned February 13th for cutting off his parole tether on February 9th. Paroled after a year ago, he had spent 10 years in a Colorado prison for fleeing and eluding. He is also wanted in Berry County for fleeing and eluding. Bond was set at $100,000 and preliminary hearings in both cases were set for Wednesday. You know, hey, welcome to the heartland of America, folks. You know, who's it? Colonel Dave Grossman, right? Go to killology.com. You want to find out more about Colonel Dave Grossman. Awesome, awesome man. He says 1 out of every 100 people are wolves, sociopaths, the bad guys. You know, you think about how many people do you see on a given day? You see hundreds. Every day you see someone like this, someone on drugs, someone mentally ill, someone evil. Every day you see people like this, you just don't know it because they haven't attacked you yet. But it happens. It happens every single day. That's why you need to get armed. That's why you need to get trained. You know, a warrior mindset. You need a heightened state of situational awareness. You got to do all that stuff, folks. You got to get trained. It's not enough to have the gun. You got to get trained. All right. Well, I want to get right into the interview with our friend Brian Jeffs, co-founder of Michigan Open Carry, vice president of Second Amendment March, co-author of My Parents Open Carry, and co-host of the At Odds radio show. You're going to love this. He's funny. You know, maybe he's not trying to be funny, but he's funny, okay? So when we come back, we're going to have Brian Jeffs. Awesome interview. 2-minute break. Check out our newest sponsor, CenterShotGunRange.com. CenterShotGunRange.com over indoor. Awesome, awesome place to shoot. It's where I go indoors to shoot my pistola. And also check out FirearmsLegal.com/MidwestTactical and ElitePhirearms.us. When we come back, Brian Jeffs, going to have some fun with him. This is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back. Would you like to take your tactical and marksmanship training to the next level? If the answer is yes, you need to check out Center Shot Indoor Gun Range just south of Grand Rapids, conveniently located off US 131. Center Shot is one of the most advanced firing ranges in Michigan. Center Shot firing lanes have nearly 100 customizable shooting programs to make you better no matter what your skill level. Our advanced lanes allow a more immersive training experience to enhance your senses. Controlled lighting and target movement mean that you get the best practice and most fun out of Center Shot Indoor Gun Range. Memberships are available for as low as $150. Center Shot also offers a 10% discount to U.S. military veterans. So, no matter what the weather, hot, cold, or in between, Center Shot Indoor Gun Range is always a perfect 70 degrees. This is where I train every week, and so should you. Find out more by going to centershotgunrange.com or call them at 616-371-7468. Stay safe, and I'll see you at Center Shot Indoor Gun Range.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. Today, as promised, I am speaking with an incredible guy. You know, he described himself as godlike, emperoristic, but actually, we're talking with Brian Jeffs. He is the co-founder of Michigan Open Carry, the vice president of Second Amendment March, the co-author of the best-selling children's gun book, My Parents Open Carry, and the co-host of At Odds podcast. Brian Jeffs, welcome to the Home Defense Show.
Well, thank you, but you forgot darn good looking, too.
Well, you know, I want to have time in the show to talk about other things. And after that introduction, I'm sorry, Brian, we're out of time.
Okay. See you. Thanks for everything.
All right. Brian, you do a lot of stuff. Man, what do you, have a full-time job too, don't you?
Well, I will. I'm hoping to retire soon, so we'll see.
Oh, really?
I gotta punch the nerve. I might be retired by next fall.
Next fall, in time for deer hunting season.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's timing.
So you retire November 14.
No, a little earlier. Scouting first.
Well, yeah, you got to get out there.
October.
Yeah. Oh, do you archery hunt, Brian?
No, but I'm thinking about starting it.
You know, you should. You really should. It's the best time of the year to be out there. October, the weather is, it's not ungodly cold, and you right. just see a lot more deer out there, and the colors are great. It doesn't even matter if you see any deer. Just go out there and right. just enjoy yourself. Untie the knots, right?
Nothing like an October sunset. You know, it's just beautiful.
Yeah. You know, Brian, I see so many of those. You know, there are two seasons that I live for. I live for, you know, the deer season, you know, mainly archery. I shoot with it with a crossbow, but I that's in the fall, and that takes up my fall. But then in the spring, boy, I'm like a maniac fungus hunter. I love to morel mushroom hunt. Is that something that you do as well?
No, I haven't done that in years and years and years, and maybe I'll start doing that. I do love morels, you know, fresh morels. You cannot beat that.
I love fry those morel up mushrooms.
Butter and onions.
Oh, well, you got it. You got it. You know, we have a lot in common, Brian.
We do.
All right. Well, Brian, I got to know you first when we worked on the Second Amendment March together. You know, I don't even remember. I don't remember when we first met or how we met. Do you remember?
Well, I think it was through Open Carry, and we had emailed, I think, a few times and been on some forums where we sort of knew each other there. But you did a Open Carry march in Hastings years ago, and I think that's the first time I actually met you.
I think you're right. I remember meeting you. You were there with another gentleman.
Doug.
Okay. Yeah. And boy, that was a good day, wasn't it?
It was fun. It was fun. It was nice. And, you made a nice speech at the courthouse steps, and the press was there, and it was just exciting.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, Brian, that was my very first open carry event. Prior to that, I had been, well, fairly anti open carry.
I would say, well, true
yeah,
of you.
Well, you know, I did, you know, because I wrote a whole chapter in, was that Blood in the Streets, one of my earlier books, you know, and I think I even titled it. I said, what did I say? Open carry is, or open carry versus concealed carry. But then I said, what open carry is stupid carry. I think that was my, my analysis at the end. Is that how you remember it?
Yes, very much so. And that's probably, where I wanted to come meet you face to face and well, no, I can't say what I wanted to do because that would be unchristian.
Brian.
But no, no, I think that's where we got into our first discussions. We're talking about, you know, the pros and cons, and you kind of slowly thought about it some more and thought, well, you know, maybe there's something to it. And I think that's what inspired you to actually to do that march in Hastings. And we had quite a few people there and a lot of people open carried.
Yeah, actually, I think probably most of the people open carried there. But for me, you know, it's like before the march, before we did that open carry march, the, you know, open carry was a concept. It was this intellectual thing. But for, you know, it was like an academic thing. But once you actually.
Well, yeah, or it was, you know, okay, you could do that while you're hunting. You know, it was a hunting thing. You were out, you could open carry your handgun, you know, and that was acceptable and okay, you know.
Yeah.
But anywhere else, well, no.
Well, I think for me, basically, Brian, what I was doing is I was just parroting what, you know, the majority of the, you know, the gun advocates back then were saying, and I didn't have any firsthand experience. So, you know, basically I was speaking from, you know, almost total ignorance.
Yeah, well, yeah, ignorance in the sense that you weren't stupid, but you just weren't aware or didn't, you probably never thought about it much, you know, it was concealed carry or nothing kind of. So you just didn't give it a lot of thought and you believed what a lot of police said and what a lot of concealed instructors would say, you know, and we still get some of that today, but after 10, 11 years of Michigan Open Carry Incorporated, it's gaining traction and, you know, police don't usually have a big issue with it and the public's getting more accustomed to it. So, and it's taken off across the country.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, it really has. I think, boy, I did a little bit of research on it. This was a couple of years ago. But at that time, there were 44 states that had some type of, open carry allowance. Do you happen to know what that is now, Brian?
I think it's a few more than that, but it varies from state to state on how and when and whether you need to have a license to do it or whether you don't need a license. I'm going to say it's probably still about the same. There might be a couple more states that have some open carry now, but like Illinois and in Florida, you can only open carry if you're fishing or hunting or camping. And California, you can do it in non-incorporated areas, out in the boondocks type of stuff. So it varies from state to state. But most states have some type of open carry. And even the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled you really, if you're going to regulate it, you either have to allow concealed carry or open carry. You can't ban both.
Yeah,
because you have a constitutional right to keep and bear arms. So, like California, they said, "All right, well, we're gonna offer concealed carry, but not to too many people because they're very they're May issue, you know."
Mm-hmm.
So they can ban the open carry, and the courts have said, "Yeah, that's fine." Now there are some counties, of course, in California that issue concealed carry permits as a shell issue, like we have in Michigan. But most of them don't.
This is Skip Coriola on the Home Defense Show. We're speaking with Brian Jeffs, co-founder and VP and co-host of a whole lot of stuff. Brian, this is probably an unfair question, but if you could only carry one way, either open or concealed, for the rest of your life, which would you choose?
Oh, that's a great question. who wrote that?
It just came to me. I don't know.
I know you. I knew you couldn't have thought of that on your own.
No, really, I did, Brian.
Well, you know, that's really tough because I know quite a bit about the different laws, and so I understand some of the advantages of both. Mm-hmm. For instance, in Michigan, we have gun-free zones. You can't carry concealed in certain places, you know, bars and schools, hospitals, and things like that. But Michigan has a screwy law that says if you have a concealed pistol license, you can carry openly in those gun-free zones. You just can't carry concealed. Mm-hmm. And so you have more places that you can carry a firearm if you carry openly, but you have to have a license to do it. So there's, you know, there's that. But I guess I would say overall, as a preponderance, you know, tipping the scale just a little bit, I'd rather be concealed.
Yeah. What?
I hate to say that's probably true.
Well, you know, actually, I would say the same thing, but maybe for not the same reason. Let me give you my reason, and then you can give me yours. My reason is you just said, you know, you're near retirement age here. I'm near retirement mm-hmm. age as well. I'll be 62 this year. And for
me, you have a job?
Oh. Yes, I do have a job. We're doing part of it right now, Brian.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah.
I knew that we were going to have a good talk. I just knew it, Brian. You know, my rationale is because, you know, I'm getting older, getting a little long in the tooth, and for me to be open carrying in my old age, I don't have the confidence that I used to have that I can actually defend an openly carried firearm. And that's one of the things that I've always told people. I said, listen, if you're going to open carry, great. But, you know, you should be able to retain the pistol. It should be more of a deterrent than, oh, look, an 85-year-old guy with a free gun. You know, so that's kind of my thinking. And what are your thoughts?
Yeah. Well, you know, I can see that point of view, but let me say this. They have very good retention holsters now.
Yeah.
And so they have holsters that make it darn near impossible to grab the gun and run with it, like you might be thinking, you know. So that's what I would recommend if anybody is going to open carry is to invest in a good retention holster. And they're not that expensive. You know, you can get one for $40, $50 and up. And some of them work very well. People want to know, well, I like Safari Lands. I think they're very reasonably priced and they do a good job of retention. So you can have one of those. Yes, situational awareness is important as well. Physical strength might be a factor, but let me just give you this scenario.
All
and,
right.
You're, well, you know, an 85-year-olds probably aren't going to be out carrying a firearm.
Probably can't make it down the porch.
Yeah. But, you know, let's say you're 70. And by the way, I'm older than you are. So and let's say you're 70 years old.
I'll respect my elders, okay?
You better, son. You're at Walmart, right? You're 70 years old. We'll go with your scenario, you know.
So I'm a Walmart greeter now, okay.
No. You're in a parking lot. You're a customer. So you park your car, and you're openly carrying. Whether you're young or old doesn't really matter, but you're open carrying, right? So criminals tend to want to avoid confrontations. They want to avoid being shot. They want easy marks. Right? So they see you openly carrying and they go, you know, I'm going to wait for the next guy. And you go about your business never knowing that you were even looked at as a potential target. Now you're 70 years old and you got your little concealed carry gun on you and you look like an old man that's defenseless. And the guy comes up to you and says, you know, give me your wallet, hits you across the face, takes your wallet and runs away. What good does your concealed handgun do at that point? In Michigan, anyways, you can't shoot the man as he's running away from you. Would you rather avoid the confrontation or actually have to do something to defend yourself and be involved in it? So there's that philosophy as well. Do you get that?
Yeah, I get that. You know, the problem, Brian, is we don't have, I think, a good way of, you know, measuring how often something doesn't happen.
Well, that's true, and that's why it's hard to talk about the pros and cons of any kind of concealed.
Yeah.
We do know that, and just because more people carry concealed, that the news is that a lot of people get their guns taken that are concealed carrying too, but that's during the robbery. You know, they're being frisked down for their wallet, and they, oh, there's a gun, I'll take that too, and so they're relieved of it. I think open carry is like a beware of dog sign. It says, don't mess with me. Move on to the next house that looks like it's easier to break into. Yeah. And so that's one of the advantages of open carry, I think. The other is faster access, faster draw.
Right.
You know, you can get your gun faster. The other is some people like it because they can carry a bigger handgun with, you know, more rounds available in those bigger handguns openly than they can carry concealed. Concealed carry, I know there's people that carry, you know, 1911s. Concealed carry 1911s, I get it. But if you got a T-shirt and shorts or whatever, you know, it's hard to really cover a 1911. You might as well open carry.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more comfortable in the summer. That was another point. The other thing I like about it is kind of an ambassadorship for gun owners, you know. You start conversation. Someone notices it. You can talk about it. Is it legal? Is it legal? We have more positive confrontations with people than we do negative ones. A lot of people are curious. Oh, I didn't know that was legal. You know what? That's kind of cool. How can I learn more about that? As opposed to, oh my gosh, he's got a gun. Run. We don't hear that anecdotally very often. You know, sure, you get somebody that might call the police, and that was kind of early on, at least in Michigan, when people weren't aware of it. But a lot more people are aware of it now, and so that happens less and less. But there's that. So that's, I think, an advantage. It brings open carry out of the closet. It shows them that good people carry firearms. A lot of people don't realize that their pastor might carry, their attorney, their doctor, their lawyers. You know, I didn't know that Dr. So-and-so carried guns, you know. So you bring it out of that closet and let people realize that maybe, you know, maybe guns aren't so bad. Maybe it isn't just criminals that carry guns. Good people carry guns.
Yeah.
So I think that's a nice thing. It desensitizes people. They see guns, and it's no big deal. Kind of like a cell phone was, you know, years ago. It was kind of a big deal. Now everybody's got one. The other thing about open carry in many states is you can do it at 18.
That's true.
You need 21 for concealed carry. That allows a lot of people to be able to arm themselves if they wish at 18. So, you know, those are some of the advantages.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, I agree with everything that you're saying. I think probably, you know, I'm not sure you answered my original question. You know,
which was
why would you choose the open carry over the concealed carry over the open carry if there are all those advantages?
Yeah, I know, but I mean, I think there's, I don't know, I you know, that's just me. I don't open carry as often as I should, but then again, I don't go out a lot. I'm kind of a homebody.
So okay.
I go to and from home, and I go to breakfast on Saturdays, and that's pretty much the only time that I go out in public.
Wow.
And when I go to breakfast, sometimes I open carry, sometimes I'm concealed. It just depends on what kind of gun I want to carry that day, you know. when you have so many guns to choose from, like I do.
Oh,
that,
wow.
That they got all lost in a boating accident. I used to have a big selection. But then, you know, I could carry, you know, a gun, a different one every day for like 150 years.
Oh.
That's how many guns are.
Yeah, well, Brian.
I may be exaggerating.
Well, we need to talk about that. We're out of time for this segment. But when we come back, I want to go ahead and I want to talk about all of your guns, your myriad of guns, as the media would call it, an arsenal. Okay?
Yeah, I know where you're going.
Okay. All right. Okay, folks, we got a two-minute break coming up. While we're away, go ahead and check out Michigan Open Carry. That's miopencarry.org. And then also check out our sponsors, firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical and elitefirearms.us. But also check out our newest sponsor, Center Shot Indoor Gun Range. Go to centershotgunrange.com. All right, folks, in 2 minutes, we'll be back with Brian Jeff. This is Skip Coriel on Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
This is Phoenix Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Always use guns safely and wisely. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Coriel.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if life was like the movies and the good guys always won? In today's world, if you're forced to use your firearm to protect yourself, you will need protection. Firearms Legal Protection is here for you. FLP provides you with seasoned, experienced attorneys that handle your criminal and civil matters as a result of you protecting yourself. FirearmsLegal.com provides its members with uncapped attorney's fees, bail bond protection, and coverage in all 50 states. We are not a reimbursement plan. You can access uncapped attorney's fees for as low as $10 a month. Firearms Legal members are provided with educational services, training videos, and access to our vast national attorney network. While you're protecting yourself, let Firearms Legal protect you.
Listen up, folks. This is important. There are plenty of legal protection services out there, but none will protect you as well as Firearms Legal Protection. This is the one I use and the only one I recommend. Visit firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical and protect your family now. Would you like to take your tactical and marksmanship training to the next level? If the answer is yes, you need to check out Center Shot Indoor Gun Range just south of Grand Rapids, conveniently located off US 131. Center Shot is one of the most advanced firing ranges in Michigan. Center Shot firing lanes have nearly 100 customizable shooting programs to make you better no matter what your skill level. Our advanced lanes allow a more immersive training experience to enhance your senses. Controlled lighting and target movement mean that you get the best practice and most fun out of Center Shot Indoor Gun Range. Memberships are available for as low as $150. Center Shot also offers a 10% discount to U.S. military veterans. So, no matter what the weather, hot, cold, or in between, Center Shot Indoor Gun Range is always a perfect 70 degrees. This is where I train every week, and so should you. Find out more by going to CenterShotGunRange.com or call them at 616-371-7468. Stay safe, and I'll see you at Center Shot Indoor Gun Range. Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. We are speaking with Brian Jeffs, the emperor-like, godlike co-founder of Michigan Open Carry, vice president of Second Amendment March, co-author of My Parents Open Carry, and co-host of the At Odds radio show. And I am out of breath. You, Justin, oh, that's right. And he's also incredibly handsome. Of course, anyone can say that on the radio, Brian.
Darn good looking.
Okay.
I didn't say incredibly handsome.
All right.
Gosh darn good looking.
Brian, you have an arsenal. You have an arsenal. Tell me a few of your favorite carry guns.
Oh boy, I kind of want to talk about what guns I have. I can talk about the guns that I lost.
Can you talk about the gun that you want? Let's go back. If you could only possess one handgun. You can only get one, Brian. What would you have?
I can't answer that question because I do different things. I mean, I like the option of being able to hunt with certain types. But I guess, since you put me on the spot, I would say my Smith & Wesson M&P 9mm.
Are you serious?
17 or 18 rounds. I think that would be. Oh, you know what the other one might be? I take that back.
Brian, stop. It's like a wife. You can only have one.
I'm Mormon. So anyways, my second one would be my AK-47 Draco pistol with a 40-round magazine.
Gosh. Wow.
Now that would be nice.
That would be fun. Yeah.
I could hunt with that up north, and I could carry that in my vehicle, and be fairly confident that the aliens and the illegal immigrants and the ISIS would be.
Yeah.
But really, probably Smith & Wesson 9mm. I love that gun. I love the way it feels. It's practical. I just like it.
Brian.
But I do have other ones.
Yeah. Brian, you'll never guess what's in my holster right now.
An M&P Smith & Wesson 9mm.
That's right. The full frame 17 plus 1. I really like it. The grip fits me really, really well. It's reliable.
Yep.
I'm not worried about running out of ammunition. You ever wake up in the middle of the night, 2 o'clock in the morning, in a cold sweat, because you just had a dream where you got in a gunfight and you ran out of ammunition?
No, but I have the reoccurring dream that I'm downtown in some strange city in a dark alley approached by bad guys with knives, and I have my gun, and I'm thinking, I'm all set, and I pull the gun out, and it doesn't fire. I have that dream all the time.
Yeah.
That's a horrible dream.
You know, I can relate to that. I really, really can.
I can actually feel the knives going into my body as I'm trying to click my gun. And it misfires. Another dream I have that's similar is I'm in, like, Chicago, where it's illegal for me to have a gun, but I have a gun concealed on me. And I'm paranoid that I'm going to get stopped by the police or somehow someone's going to find me with this gun on me and I'm going to go to jail. That's weird, too.
Oh, wow. You know, Brian.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
You know, I don't know what this says about me, but I'm more afraid of the government than I am the bad guy who's got a knife and ready to kill me.
I don't know. I think the likelihood of either is pretty big.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm saying unlikely that either one will happen.
Yeah.
But of the two, I fear the confrontation with some bad guy over the government coming to take my guns. I don't know why. Maybe it's because, you know, I've been in fights and I've, you know, confronted people before and been frightened. So I have a real-life example. But
yeah.
I think that's a bigger fear for me. That's what I dream about. I don't dream about, like, the UN coming knocking on my door.
Yeah.
And me at the door with my gun. I never have. Now I will. Darn it. Now I'll have a dream like.
You needed one more nightmare. You just needed one more,
Brian. I'll blame you.
Well, yeah, and tonight I'll wake up at 3 a.m. and people are stabbing me, you know, and I can blame that one on you as well. Folks, we're
going to go. Click,
That's right. We're speaking with Brian Jeffs, co-founder of Michigan Open Carry and co-author of My Parents Open Carry, and also the co-host of At Odds radio show and the vice president of Second Amendment March. Brian, Second Amendment March. Second Amendment March this year, why don't you go ahead and announce the date, the first one to announce the date over the air here.
Oh, my goodness. The vice president should know that. But I do. This year, we're mixing it up a bit. It's going to be in the fall. We typically have it in the spring, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
And this year, we're going to have it September 10th, which is my father's birthday. God rest his soul. But it's September 10th at the Lansing Capitol, or the Michigan Capitol, Lansing, Michigan. Lansing doesn't have a capital, per se. And it's from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. We'll have entertainment, we'll have speakers, we'll have vendors, we'll have like-minded individuals gathering together to share the experience of exercising their Second Amendment march. The people will be able to talk to their legislators because they'll be in session, so it'll be a good time had by all. And this would be a good year to do it because we're more likely now that the Dems can control the House in the federal Congress.
Mm-hmm.
But we also in Michigan have Democratic House. No, Democratic. No, we control both houses. I'm sorry, Republicans do. But we have a Democratic governor that's not real gun friendly. So
yeah, and the Attorney General and Secretary of State as well.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly right. Yep.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a different kind of a year for us. I really don't know what to expect. My gut feeling, and you can give me your opinion, but my gut feeling is that this year we're going to have a good turnout, because my experience has been that when people feel tenuous, precarious about their gun rights, then they tend to come out of the closet and do more to try and advance their gun rights. What's your opinion?
I think that's absolutely true. When you have a ho-hum type of administration where they're not posing any threat to our guns, I think people get lackadaisical and they don't go out and do things like that. But whenever they perceive a fear, whether real or not, and I think it is real, especially on a national level, the people tend to get more, what do I want to say, coalesced and come out together and support each other. So we might have a good turnout.
Yeah, I think that we will. Any ideas on who we should get? If we had unlimited funds, who do you think we should bring to the march to be the keynote speaker?
Unlimited funds?
Yes, unlimited funding. We can bring anybody we want. Who should it be? Give me maybe your top three.
Why not President Trump?
Oh, that would be awesome. I would really like that.
Although I don't know how much of a gun guy he really is, but, you know. I mean, Freeman.
Yeah.
Mike Pence.
Oh, yeah, I like Mike.
But other people, you know, I mean, these other people, they charge a lot of money that want to be to events like this. You know, you're talking $40,000, $50,000 range. So yeah. It would be tough, but who are national pro-gun people out there that are celebrities? I mean, one would say, you know, Ted Nugent might be one. Tom Selleck might be one. Somebody mm-hmm. like that. What's his name? Karate guy. Tougher than nails. Norris. Chuck Norris.
Oh, Chuck Norris. Yeah. Yeah, he'd be good.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, somebody like that would be have a name recognition.
Well, you know what? The guy that I would bring, and, you know, he's got good name recognition.
Mm-hmm.
The logistics might be a little tough, you know, no matter how much money we have. But if we could bring one person to the march to speak, I would bring Charlton Heston.
Well, that would be tough.
Yeah, the logistics are tough, yeah.
The logistics are tough.
Can you imagine the airfare? How much that would cost?
It would be expensive, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, a hologram might be a lot cheaper.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't be the same, but.
No,
I like that guy. He's one of my favorites by far.
Yeah, he's a Michigan guy, too, you know.
Oh, originally, like way back, right?
Well, he had a cottage up the central part of the state where he would duck hunt every fall.
Yeah.
And he would duck hunt up in the UP, too.
Okay. Cool. Well, I'm looking forward to the Second Amendment March. I think it's going to be great. You are an author. What are you thinking about a follow-up book? Because this book that you did, My Parents Open Carry, it really did quite well for a niche book.
Yeah, it did. And, you know, it still sells a few copies here and there. Yeah, I mean, I've contemplated. I think Nate and I have worked on a draft of a follow-up, but we need to work out the illustrations. You know, kids' books should have illustrations. I don't know if we're going to go with the same artist or if we're going to do something that's more digital or graphic photographs. I don't know where we are with the illustrations, so that's kind of holding us up. But I'm certainly going to have more time after October.
Mm-hmm.
If
I tell you,
indeed retire.
Brian, I got an idea for you here. Right now, okay, I'm helping out Rob Pincus with a children's book that he's doing, and I contracted a guy from the Ukraine. He's the same guy that did the illustrations for Yehuda Remer, you know, his Safety On book. And they were really quite good. You probably saw them at Well, online you probably saw the illustrations. They're very, very good. He's reasonable.
Yeah.
So if you want, I can hook you up with that guy, and we can talk about it off air. But I think he'd do a really good job for you. But anyways, let's talk about America here.
Sure.
Let's talk about red flag laws. Tell the listeners what they are and what you think about them.
Well, I think they're horrendous. I think they violate constitutional rights. I think they're can be used as a tool not only for tyranny but for revenge. It's a form of legalized swatting. Swatting is where you call the police on a fake crime, and the SWAT shows up, and usually bad things happen. But red flags are laws that allow individuals to report to the police someone they think is a harmful either to themselves or others and probably shouldn't have the guns that they have. So the police then show up on your door, interview you, confiscate your firearms if they feel necessary, and then you have to go to court and show that you are not a threat to yourself or others in order to get your firearms back. It's the opposite of due process, right? You know, it's a Fourth Amendment issue. And unfortunately, some of these states have enforced them, and the police have shot and killed people trying to take their guns because the people don't want to give up their guns.
Yeah.
And that's the way that I've always predicted that gun control would happen in the government, is they would go one at a time and take guns that way. And then they shoot and kill you, and then, you know, you're off the board, and on to the next guy, and they slowly go through, and so everybody's afraid of the government, and they either comply or something else happens. But by then, it's almost too late. So I think they're terrible, and I think they can be abused, because we already know that things like restraining orders have been abused by ex-wives and ex-girlfriends, you know, like that, where they want to get back at their significant other, and they call the police, and so bad things happen there. So this is what's happening, and it's growing in popularity. I can't remember how many states, 9 states maybe?
Yeah, I think it's 8 states right now, but what surprised me that is Indiana has a red flag law. Do you know anything about Indiana's red flag law?
I don't know, but I've heard rumors that Michigan is playing around with proposing something.
Yeah.
I hope it wouldn't pass, but I think they're horrible laws, and I think there have been some challenges in court, so we'll see how those play out. I hope that the courts rule them unconstitutional, because it's taking away a right without any due process, and, you know, that's the bad.
Yep. You know, Brian, I absolutely agree. We're about out of time here, but before we go, I've got an idea here. You know, while we were talking, I got an idea for your next children's book. I mean, you know, you're getting ready to try her here, so you're going to have time on your hands. So your next children book, this is the working title, okay?
Okay.
It could be about, you know, red flag laws, and you could title it From Daddy's Cold Dead Hands.
Beautiful. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
I should work with that.
You know, I think you should work with it, Brian. It's controversial. And I think it would create some energy.
And it would, and I could have the character, the illustration, look like Charlton Heston.
Yes, you could.
It'll be Daddy dead on the floor. When
that's
the
right.
Comes in.
Full color.
Yeah, full color, and he'll be wearing his Ben-Hur outfit.
There you go. All right, folks, we've been speaking with Brian Jeffs, co-founder of Michigan Open Carry, vice president of Second Amendment March, co-author of My Parents Open Carry, and co-host of the At Odds radio show. Brian, before you go, tell people how they can buy your book and how they can listen to your show.
All right, well, they can go on to Amazon. The book's listed there. Just type in the search, My Parents Open Carry, and that should take you to the only book that has that title that I'm aware of. If you want to be safe, you can type Brian Jeffs afterwards, and you'll get right to it. And you can order it online, order 2 copies, and donate 1 to your local library. And also the Ad Odd Show. You just go to adoddshow.com and you'll go to our website and you can watch our shows live or at any time. You can stream them and download them. We're on different venues throughout the internet, iHeartRadio and iTunes and Red State Talk Radio, Spreaker, a few other places. So we're really easy to find. And the other is, I just wanted to announce really quick, Michigan Open Carry is having their 10th anniversary banquet, which is open to the public. You can go to their Facebook page on their events, and you'll see it. It's Saturday, April 6th, and it's in Milford, Michigan. That'll be a good time.
April 6th, okay. All right, that is awesome. Now, Brian, before we go, one last thing. Or else we'll never hear the end of this. Your co-author and co-host is Nathan Nephew. You know, he's not as good looking as you.
No.
You know, but you know, he's a good guy, so we'll give him that much. And so Nathan Nephew, he is your co-host for Ad Odd Show, and also the co-author of My Parents Open Carry. So a shout out to Nathan Nephew.
Isn't he also the treasurer of some organization?
Oh, he's also the treasurer of Second Amendment, Mark. You know, we'd better we got to give the guy his due because he holds the purse strings.
Right, he's the one that cuts the check.
That's right, absolutely. Okay, yeah. Brian, thank you very, very much for being on the Home Defense Show.
My pleasure, anytime, Skip.
All right, folks, we got another 2-minute break. While you are away, go ahead and check out miopencarry.org and then My Parents Open Carry and the At Odds Radio Show. We will be back in segment 4. I will give you the wrap up and I'll tell you what I really think about Brian Jeffs. This is Skip Coriel and Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Welcome to my dad's Home Defense Radio Show. You're gonna love it.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Coriel.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us.
Skip, it's Armed America time. Let's do it, friend.
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, California has its share of armed citizens who believe in exercising their Second Amendment rights. In a recent incident in San Diego, a homeowner and his family were sound asleep when a sound of a break-in woke him up at 3 a.m. Glancing outside, he witnessed an intruder grab a rock from a nearby flower bed and headed for the front door. Fearful for his family's safety, the homeowner armed himself and headed for the front door as well, warning that he was armed and ordering the would-be attacker to leave the premises. However, the other man continued to yell, bang on the door, and shattered a glass panel. Faced with no alternative, the homeowner fired and hit the culprit in the shoulder before he ran off. Police later found the suspect and charged him on multiple counts.
Thanks, Colonel. According to the FBI crime statistics, most home invasions occur between the hours of 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Here's the rationale behind that. Most home invaders do not want to meet up with the homeowner. They simply want to smash into the house, steal what they can, and then get out as quickly as possible. To add to that, there was a study done in federal prison where home invaders were asked this question: what are you most afraid of while breaking into someone's home? The overwhelming answer was this: meeting a homeowner with a gun. And that makes good sense. After all, sane people, people in their right mind, definitely do not want to die at the hands of a frightened or angry homeowner protecting his family. They get that, and they understand that. However, what does it mean when someone goes out of their way to break into your home at a time when they absolutely know the residents are there? It means a lot of things. One, they are not afraid of you. They may not even be afraid of dying. This means you cannot deter them from coming in. In short, it means you'll have to use deadly force to drive them away, and without that, you can't protect your family. Even an anti-gun state like California understands that. Two, the person breaking in is not currently in their right mind. Either they are there to kill you, or they are on drugs or alcohol, or possibly mentally ill. They are in an altered state of mind, and people like that lose their inhibitions and do things that they normally wouldn't do. And three, it means you'll have to be proficient in the use of your firearm and also fluent in the laws of deadly force in your jurisdiction, and you'll have to follow them to the letter. You'll also need a solid mindset with the attitude that says, not on my watch and not in my home. In short, this California man did a great job protecting his family, and Front Lines of Freedom salutes his positive warrior mentality as well as his courage.
Amen, brother.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. Brian Jeffs, one of my favorite guys. Well, I told you I would tell you what I really think, and so I'll do that now. The far left in America has gone crazy, not just classically insane or out of control, but even worse than that. They are totally, undeniably, as a collective, crazier than a shithouse bat. I checked my Fox News feed a few days ago and watched a video of a 25-year-old man being aggressively punched out by a student at UC Berkeley. Today I log in and watch another video of a woman at a Mexican restaurant attacking another man for wearing a red Make America Great Again hat. These are no longer exceptions. They are the rule, the new normal. Today in America, the far left is so emboldened that they feel free to commit violence on a whim and with impunity. They actually feel like it's okay and moral and good to attack and hurt or even kill innocent people simply for disagreeing with their politics. It's gotten to the point, America, where conservatives are in physical danger simply for being who they are. Now, I'm not going to debate the morality of this new trend, nor am I going to try to explain it. Other people in the conservative media are already weighing in on that. That's not what I do here on the Home Defense Show. This show exists to help keep your family safe. And I have to tell you, as much as it goes against my grain, I don't think it's tactically wise any longer to exercise your God-given right to free speech in an America that is littered with violent and far-left loonies. It's just no longer safe, folks. Now, perhaps if you're a 300-pound bodybuilder, it's not as big a deal. But most of us don't fit into that category. My advice, at least for now, is to keep a low profile. Don't bring attention to yourself. Just head into Walmart, buy your dog food, and get the hell out. Then go back to your house, watch Fox News, and eat your TV dinners. Now, some are saying, Skip, you're a coward. You're capitulating to the enemy. And to that I say, you are absolutely right. After all, isn't that exactly what the left wants us to do? They want us to shut up, to not be heard, to cower under our desks as they commit planned acts of First Amendment terrorism? I get that. I understand it. But here's the deal. For me, if I'm attacked, especially if I'm with my family, then I might have to kill them. At 61 years of age, I can no longer afford to allow someone to use my head for a punching bag. That's how old people die. Lately, I've taken to carrying pepper gel everywhere I go, simply because of this new phenomenon. If someone gets in my face or pushes me or spits on me, then I'm not going to shoot them with my gun, but I certainly will give them a classic capsaicinoid cold shower. And if that doesn't work and they press the attack, then I may have to shoot them. But I don't want that. I really don't want to kill anyone, no matter how crazy or out of line they behave. I am willing to forgo wearing my Trump t-shirt. And I'm doing it out of love for my fellow man. I don't want to poke a liberal in the chest until he freaks and does something to me or my family, which justifies my use of deadly force. I just want to live and let live. I just want to work hard, love my family, and make ends meet. That's all I want. But these crazy people won't let me. What a shame. What a sad and crying shame. America is at war right now. It's a cultural war, and it's going to last a very long time. It's up to you what you do for yourself and your family, but for me, I'm just going to hunker down, keep a low profile, and try not to piss off the crazies. Donald Trump loves to stir up the hornet's nest, and that's okay for him, because he's the president. But I don't have a Secret Service detail to protect myself and my family. Maybe that's why conservatives love the Donald so much, because he's our champion. He does for us what we can't do for ourselves. But here's my final word of advice. Operate on condition yellow at all times. Improve your open-handed skills. Carry some form of less-than-lethal defense. And as your last line of defense, carry and train often with a reliable firearm. Oh, and one more thing. Check out firearmslegal.com, because if a conservative shoots a liberal, they're going to need a really good lawyer. And that is what I really think. Oh, boy. Okay, folks, I went long again today. For that, I apologize slightly. But they were all things that needed saying. And I like to think that you enjoy the show. If you didn't, you wouldn't have made it all the way to segment 4 now, would you? All right, don't forget, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry book. Go on Amazon.com, do a search on Skip Coriel. There's 13 books there that you absolutely have to read, and they will make you a better person. Also, check out Brian Jeff's My Parents Open Carry and the At Odds Show. All good stuff. And remember our sponsors, the brand new sponsor, CenterShot Indoor Gun Range. Go to CenterShotGunRange.com and then check out FirearmsLegal.com/MidwestTactical. But also check out Larry Jackson at ElitePhirearms.us. All right, some things I've got going. I'm working on getting Ted Nugent onto the show. Hopefully that will happen in the next 30 days or so. Next week on the Home Defense Show, we are going to have Tom Lambert, president of Michigan Open Carry. And because I've been getting a lot of questions about registering your handguns in Michigan. Do you have to do it even if you possess a non-resident concealed pistol license from some other state? Tom Lambert is going to break that down for us and give us his legal analysis, and I think that's important for all of you to know. Well, okay, folks, that about wraps it up for this week's episode of the Home Defense Show. Until next week, remember, your purpose in life is to find something greater than yourself and serve it. Always remember, God, family, country, in that order. It's important how you live, but it's equally important how you die. Your family and the ones you love need protection, so train, always train, stay alert, stay alive. Until next week on the Home Defense Show, this is your host, Skip Coriel. God bless you, God bless your family, and God bless America.
Thank you for joining us this week on The Home Defense Show. Now, get out there and protect the ones you love. We'll see you next week with more of the best in home defense.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!